In the meantime, let's start with Stuart Greenbaum. Stuart is the former dean and Bank of America Professor Emeritus of Managerial Leadership and an Adjunct Professor in Finance at the Washington University in St. Louis, Olin Business School. Stuart, I've asked you to talk about the disruption in the university. Fire away.
Thank you for the opportunity, Larry. Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Larry? Yes. Okay. Universities are among our most durable institutions, seemingly less prone to failure than marriages, corporations, or even religious institutions. However, before the COVID plague, higher education was undergoing serious disruption in the United States. Costs were rising faster than inflation. Clients rebelled at the length and relevance of what's taught. Domestic demand was shrinking. Venerable small private colleges were exiting the industry, and technology was disrupting time-honored pedagogy. To complicate matters further, the professoriate was morphing from a dominantly tenure and research-based population to a two-tiered labor force where inexpensive practice professors substitute for traditional faculty. Admissions and pricing constitute yet another nightmare as the wedge between sticker and average selling price widened and every sale became the product of an expensive negotiation. The COVID plague, more a catalyst than innovator, has not so much altered trends as accelerated them. For example, online pedagogy has been growing slowly for at least two decades. COVID has forced widespread instantaneous implementation of this more impersonal technology. COVID has altered the pattern of demand as well. International programs have withered as many schools came to depend on international student revenues, predominantly Chinese. This dependence was seen by many as unsustainable well before COVID. So let me tender a few thoughts on cost, pricing, and the services offered by colleges and universities in the U.S., and remember that most of my work experience has been at business schools and private universities. Expedited by COVID, we will likely lose considerably more than 100 smaller private colleges and universities in the next few years. We will be left with state schools and the larger, better endowed private institutions that will serve a declining fraction of higher education aspirants. Universities and colleges will likely be forced to narrow the gap between average selling and sticker price. Their role in wealth distribution, a role they can ill afford, will wane. Price concessions are likely to be limited to those funded by gifts and endowments. This will increase net revenues by elevating effective tuition. Administrative costs will shrink along with sticker prices and the university's social agenda. If the community wishes educational institutions to become more inclusive, they will need to find the financing elsewhere. To expect the Chinese and private or the private universities to finance inclusion is simply unrealistic. States and federal government could, of course, reduce tuition at public universities to nominal levels, as was the past practice, and is now an integral part of the progressive political agenda. This would clearly expose private universities to even greater financial pressure to behave more like private businesses and to put their houses in order. The professoriate has evolved into a social economic hierarchy that is likely to be unsustainable. The division pits research against teaching faculty. The latter teaches more, is paid less, and typically has less job security and political power. Some adjuncts have unionized, but many remain invidiously aggrieved. The university will need to placate the teaching faculty, especially if they expect them to continue providing the bulk of the teaching at high quality standards in an increasingly demanding teaching environment. Now, much of the complaint about services and curriculum focuses on employment at graduation. Hence, the successful higher education program will ultimately need to guarantee graduates of both bachelor's and professional programs gain full employment upon graduation. This will mean either a suitable job, entry into a suitable professional school, a paid internship, or compensation. A probable last resort, compensation might be capped at a year and offer half of the representative's starting salary. Such a guarantee program is, in my opinion, feasible, even if it sounds a bit radical. In periods of economic stability, successful business schools find employment for 90% or more of their full-time MBAs within 90 days of graduation, and similarly for bachelor's degree graduates. Finally, all of the degree programs offered at universities and colleges need to be abbreviated and incorporate substantial online components. Notwithstanding the fears of many, this need not damage the quality of educational offerings. Think of undergraduate and graduate programs each shortened by 1 year and some of the lost time recaptured by reducing holidays, including summer recess. Online, if limited to where it is most effective, may indeed improve the quality of teaching. Student interaction may prove more limited, but the most talented faculty can be substituted for the less skilled. By expanding audiences, online offerings will reduce direct costs. Shorter programs will further reduce students' indirect opportunity costs. Transition to this new equilibrium would ordinarily require years, perhaps decades, but the COVID plague will almost certainly expedite warranted change. The stress of adjustment at institutions of higher learning is likely, however, to be palpable, if not excruciating. That's it, Larry.
Okay, Stuart. Thank you. I'll come back with a bunch of questions in a minute.